Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My colleague, Senator Mark Udall, called for Democrats and Republicans to sit together at the State of the Union. I called up Tom after he did that, and he graciously agreed we're going to sit together Wednesday night at the State of the Union, and we hope that many others will follow us.
New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer on Meet the Press yesterday. The Tom he refers to is Republican Senator Tom Coburn from Texas. Chuck and Tom sitting together at the State of the Union. But Chuck, isn't that merely symbolic?
Now, that's symbolic, but maybe it just sets a tone and everything gets a little bit more civil. We believe in discourse in America. We believe in strenuous discourse. We don't sweep differences under the rug. Tom and I have real differences, but we can do it civilly.
Now, this is not the head of Goldman Sachs watching the speech with day laborers, you know, or Chris Christie in the teachers union or something really radical like that. But at least it's members of the two ruling parties in the week after the Tucson massacre agreeing to at least make a show of all being Americans rather than being from warring tribes. So let's see how far this can go. And good morning, everyone. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Brian Lehrer with you, live here on WNYC on this holiday. We will spend the entire second hour of the program today playing excerpts from the live MLK event we held yesterday at the Brooklyn Museum called King's Dream in Today's Economy. But right now, Washington Post political columnist Dana Milbank, who follows the theater of Washington politics, he and his readers have been speculating on who should sit with whom at the State of the Union and who should go on outward bound trips together after that. Michelle Bachmann and Dennis Kucinich, anyone? So we will begin there. Hi, Dana. Welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be with you, Brian.
And remind us, how did this particular idea take shape as a response to the tragedy in Arizona? Did Senator Udall start this on his own?
Well, not entirely on his own. He's on the board of a group called Third Way, which is sort of a, you know, nonpartisan centrist kind of organization. They said, wouldn't this be a great idea? He had done this just on his own back when he was in the Colorado State Legislature. And so he sent a note out to his colleagues, I think perhaps not expecting much to come of it, expecting people to make fun of him. There was a little of that, but lo and behold, the majority and minority whip signed on in the House, and it actually looks like they're going to do this. It's like a boy-girl thing at the State of the Union.
And listeners, Dana and his readers on the Washington Post website have been having some fun with this. You can, too. Who would you like to sit with each other at the State of the Union address? And you can also throw in, who should never sit with each other at the State of the Union address? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And seriously, what should they do next to act like grown-ups in Congress the day afterwards? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Who would you like to see sit with each other at the State of the Union address? Who should never sit with each other? And what should they do next to act like grown-ups in Congress the next morning? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Dana, already someone has tweeted to us, how about Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders?
That is an excellent idea. In fact, I was trying to figure out who to hook up with Bernie Sanders. I toyed with Tom Coburn, but as you mentioned earlier, it looks like Chuck's got him already. So I thought, you know, maybe Jim DeMint, but Mark Udall has designs on him. So I think that might be a very good pairing. It's really, the permutations are endless. And in fact, Udall, who started this, this is just the beginning, as you alluded to earlier. He wants to get everybody going on these outward bound trips, so they would be, you know, sailing for 7 days with only sort of a toilet in the open on the sailboat and eating canned meat and unable to bathe. So I suggested that would be a great outing for Charlie Rangel in the House Ethics Committee. So we could go on endlessly with these possibilities.
So that's serious about the outward bound. I couldn't tell if you were just making that up and poking fun in your column.
No, I believe it or not, I don't make things up in the column. It often seems that way just because things are so outlandish in politics. Now, I don't think you'd all have high expectations of, rappelling down a mountain with Jim DeMint, although he might like to cut him some slack as he stood down the cliff. But he thinks maybe they'll start off with something gentle, like a large, more comfortable sailing trip on the Chesapeake Bay. But no, Udall was a mountaineering guide with Outward Bound, and he's very serious. Can you imagine him doing trust falls? You know, you blindfold yourself and fall backward and hope the guy catches you?
Yeah, that would be really fun. I don't think I want Charlie Rangel behind me on that one. He's just a little too old.
Even if he's trying to catch him.
I said that Coburn was from Texas. Coburn is actually from Oklahoma, to be absolutely accurate. I don't know. This Rand Paul, I'm still thinking about this Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders thing. You know, I think they're actually too similar. They would gang up on the Federal Reserve Board. And
well, that's the thing, right? And so maybe the better thing would be to actually have Rand, and his father could come along, Ron Paul, and have Ben Bernanke.
Karen in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi there.
You have a serious suggestion for acting like grown-ups?
I do. Well, it seems what occurred to me right away was how wonderful it would be if all of our representatives during the State of the Union address would look at the president and listen to his words and not fiddle with their Blackberries.
Was that a thing last year? I don't remember. Were people Blackberrying during the State of the Union?
They do. They
yes,
have during
Brian,
some.
They were tweeting is the problem.
But they were.
Yes, it was a constant problem. I mean, it's better than, you know, shouting out, "You lie," I suppose. It's a little bit more discreet and private. But, yes, they're all looking down at their laps. You could see the thumbs moving actively. Now, of course, in fairness, they're tweeting out, you know, broadcast to their
sure.
various followers. So they are spreading the word. But, yeah, I think it'd be really, even during the commemorative ceremonies on the House floor on Wednesday over the Giffords tragedy, there were too many of them were on the iPhones and Blackberries. I think they got to give those up on the floor.
Well, listeners, that's an interesting question, actually. I mean, we do a live chat during the State of the Union address and, you know, other live events and presidential speeches and other things and have a simultaneous conversation going on. Is it so inappropriate for members of Congress to be tweeting to the broader public instantaneous reactions during the State of the Union address? What do you think? Post it on our website, itsafreecountry.org, our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, as we talk to Dana Milbank from the Washington Post about the plan for people to sit boy, girl, Democrat, Republican at the State of the Union. So Schumer and Coburn are volunteering for the buddy system. Are they stepping out by doing this as a pair, or are there other pairs now announcing that they will sit by each other's sides?
I don't think I'm not sure that they've actually paired off, but various people have signed on the proposal saying they're willing to do it and cross the aisles. By the time the majority whip in the House signed on, there were 16 bipartisan members, and so surely there are going to be a whole lot more now doing that. Now, the question is, which side do they go on? I could see them having a bit of a dispute over that. Of course, there are a lot more Republicans in the House now, so they'll flow over onto the Democratic side. So, it's the question of whether it's a home or an away game as well.
Jason in Rockland County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jason.
Hi. You mentioned Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders, but I don't know if you realize that Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders are actually already working together, and they were just applauded by Ralph Nader for advocating to audit the Fed and spending cuts to defense and a couple of other things.
There you go. As we mentioned before, those two in particular, from their socialist bent, Sanders calls himself a socialist, and their libertarian bent, they actually come together on certain things, certainly around criticism and skepticism about the Fed. Mike in Coscob, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So who should sit together?
Nancy Pelosi and Michelle Bachmann.
That would be hilarious.
It would be funny.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I think it would be funny, and I certainly would get a kick out of it, but I do think that if they did keep their Blackberries down and their ears trained on what the president had to say on what the State of the Union actually is, they would look at each other as human beings and not as these talking heads that they probably only see each other, you know, on television talking about each other, you know, at least that's the perception the public has.
Mike, thank you very much. And that's the point, Dana, isn't it? That's the serious point.
Exactly right. And people may say it's symbolic, but you know what? Some good symbolism is what we need here. And the problem here in Washington is that people have come to the point where they don't regard the opposition as human. That's because they don't actually have interaction with them. You know, they zip in here Tuesday morning, leave Thursday evening to get back to their districts. There's no socializing. They don't, you know, they understand it intellectually, but they don't feel it, that these people are normal, breathing human beings with families that love their country just as much as they do. So it is very important in terms of the symbolism, and I think it's not just cosmetic. They need to have these sort of mixers. I mean, obviously more than one night's worth. And I do think the Bachman thing is excellent. I'd actually suggested for Nancy Pelosi to be paired with Alan West, the new Republican freshman from Florida who tried to hire as his chief of staff somebody who said that Pelosi was garbage.
So that's a starting point, yeah. And in all seriousness, they're going to start the health reform law repeal process in the House tomorrow and on from there. So let me play a clip here of Coburn followed by Schumer, the two of them apparently going to sit together at the State of the Union. They're both on Meet the Press after talking about holding hands, platonically, of course, at the State of the Union once they got down to substance.
Well, I think we ought to try to repeal it because we ought to build the basis so that we've gone in the wrong direction to solve the real problems in health care. The real problems in health care is it costs too much, and what we've done is expanded the coverage but haven't worked on the cost, and we haven't allowed any market forces to do it.
We welcome, in a certain sense, their attempt to repeal it because it gives us a second chance to make a first impression. There are so many good things in the bill, the donut hole. The fact that insurance companies, which can just say you didn't dot the I or cross the T, kick you off. Annual checkups for senior citizens, which save billions. Dr. Coburn knows how important preventative medicine is. And so many other good things that didn't get a real airing during the Sturm und Drang of the debate will now get one. And there are some changes we can work on together, repealing the 1099 provision, which puts too big a burden on small business. And what Dr. Coburn said, getting rid of, there's still, the bill did a good job, but it can go further in getting rid of the duplication, the inefficiencies in this system.
So in that clip, Schumer is actually suggesting at least one thing, and I know the president has referred to this before, that the Democrats might be able to give up in the health reform law as it stands, Dana, that they might be willing to give up. Do we see the beginnings of a kind of, you know, grown-up, down-to-business lawmaking on a second look at health reform, or are they just both posturing?
Gosh, Brian, I hope that I want to believe that that is the beginning of something new, but I suspect it is the latter. That what's happening, it's starting in the House tomorrow, is not one of these thoughtful, well, what really works well in this bill and what doesn't. It's a wholesale repeal of the bill. Now, the Democrats think they have an opportunity here. You know, it's much easier in the Capitol to stop things from happening, to blow things up, than to actually do something in a constructive manner. So the Democrats are actually in a position of an opposition here now, and they can highlight the beneficial parts of the legislation that the Republicans would take away. So I think they're actually feeling that they're going to enjoy this repeal debate, which, after all, is a symbolic thing in itself. Maybe down the road there are indeed things that they'll agree on in terms of smaller changes to the health bill, but that's only after they work this repeal debate out of their systems.
Dana Milbank, Washington Post columnist, talking about the movement among members of Congress to sit Democrat-Republican at the State of the Union address next Tuesday night instead of split down the aisle as they usually do, or getting your input on who should sit next to whom, who should never sit next to each other, and where this might or might not go, in all seriousness, for members of grown-ups to humanize, members of grown-ups, members of Congress to humanize each other and act as grown-ups going forward from there. And James in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say that whether, I'm not sure who should sit next to each other exactly, but if there is their oppression from us watching at home, you know, usually you get the Democrats standing up for what they want to applaud, and you get the Republicans standing up for what they want to applaud. If they're sitting together, mixed up, then for each issue, when they do their standing ovation thing for their topic, it'll be a much more diffused impression for the American people, and we actually may feel a little bit less like Congress is polarized on every single issue, no matter what.
James, thanks. Yeah, did you want to finish a thought? You can.
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. Well, that's really interesting, thinking about the visuals at the State of the Union, Dana, you know, when usually one side or the other stands up or stays in their seats and applauds while the other sits kind of stone-faced and vice versa.
Right.
Is it going to be harder for them to do that if they're sitting all interspersed?
Well, it will be, and that, I think, is a lot of what's behind the idea, Udall's idea. I mean, it's also for that, it's for them to be among themselves, but it's also to project a different image to the country. I mean, it does usually look like a seesaw. One side's up, then the other's down, then they switch places, and then the Supreme Court justices are stuck in the middle and not knowing what to do. In fact, Chief Justice John Roberts has said maybe they shouldn't be going to these State of the Union's addresses at all. So, yes, this will actually give a more accurate picture to the people at home in that it is really a hodgepodge and a mixture. It's not, there's red and blue, Democrat and Republican, but there's various coalitions from all around the country. So it'll actually, being a bit more of a sort of a speckled applause in the crowd, you'll get a more accurate picture of what America looks like.
Now, I think we have some bipartisan unity here. I'm guessing, but just from reading my my screener's notes, we're going to put on Rachel from the Upper West Side and Bob in Mountainside in New Jersey. And I think we have some bipartisan unity here on not liking this idea. Rachel, are you there?
Yeah.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Rachel, go ahead.
The problem I have with the whole thing is that it seems somewhat staged unity. I definitely would love to see unity, but if you ever put people next to each other, one says yes, one says no, there's always going to be a huge dissension amongst Democrats and Republicans. And just for one night, for a State of the Union, for them to pretend that these guys are unified, it seems very artificial to me. And the man did make a good point about after certain points that the Democrats and Republicans sitting next to each other, but it's all visual. It's not real. And that's the problem that I have with it.
Bob?
Well, I totally agree with what that the caller just said, Rachel. I think that it's totally staged, and they get along. I mean, remember when Orrin Hatch and Teddy Kennedy were drinking partners or whatever?
Well, they actually worked together on legislation, right? And one might say that they were from another generation when there actually was more bipartisan lawmaking.
That's possible, but I mean, when your approval rating is like 11%, I mean, I know it's spiked up and you were under attack, of course you're going to get together. I just think it's all just show. And and by the way, when that guy did yell lie, he was right. He was proved right, actually, because Obama was lying.
You're not supposed to bring up an actual partisan opinion when we're talking about everybody being so nice.
I'm sorry about that.
Rachel, you want to accuse the Republican? You want to get a lick in here? You see, you want to get a lick in here? Are you a Democrat and you want to get a lick in against the Republicans?
I'm a staunch Democrat. And, you know, the only two Democrats and Republican I ever saw getting along were James Carville and his wife, Mary, is it Magdalene?
Madeline.
They seem to, despite hating each other's points of view, live together. But other than that couple, if you put five Democrats and five Republicans in a room, I don't care if they're sitting next to each other, across from each other, you're going to have a huge difference of opinion and backfighting. And to present to the American public just for a State of the Union that all is well because they're sitting next to each other, it's just a viewership. It's like The Bachelorette on TV. It's like putting something out there that everyone wants to see. And it's all visual, but it's not meaningful. And because I doubt that these guys are going to hold hands after the State of the Union is my problem.
All right. We're going to get you and Bob together in the studio. You'll have a cup of coffee and you'll debate who's...
Sorry about that one comment. How about make a comeback and say, as spirit of bipartisan, Mitch McConnell and Jim DeMint could sit together.
I want to see a bunch of bears sitting next to Chris Christie.
That would be... ooh.
Sorry.
Okay, you'll come together in bipartisan comedy and...
I tried to be nice. Come on.
Have a cup of coffee and debate who started it. Rachel and Bob, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. All right, Dana Milbank, we're going to finish this off with Jake in Midtown. Who's going to get the last word? Jake?
Hi. A couple of things. First, I feel like when you go to the theater, they tell you to turn off your handheld device, and I think that would be a great thing to issue at the beginning of the State of the Union. If people really want to comment, then they can take notes. They can make a note, oh, I didn't like this, and they can organize their thoughts and tweet about them later instead of just doing it at the same time. Because a lot of times you'll have a response to something, and the next sentence will answer what you have a question about. And then my second thing was, I know that Ron Paul is Rand Paul's dad, but is RuPaul Rand Paul's sister, mother, or brother?
Oh, that was mean. Do you know the answer about RuPaul, Dana?
I was hoping you wouldn't come to me with that.
We're gonna leave it right there.
In the spirit of the season, I'm going to be nice to everybody now.
Dana Milbank. In the spirit of the season, I guess it's the one-day season of Martin Luther King Day when we're supposed to be nice to everybody. And Dana Milbank, not always nice to everybody in his Washington Post column, where he definitely chronicles the theater of what goes on in D.C. Thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Brian.
And we will see what actually happens next Tuesday night at the State of the Union address. And by the way, we're going to have a State of the Union viewing party to take place Tuesday night at our Jerome L. Green Performance Space. It'll be lots of fun, and fair warning, you may have to sit next to someone who has different political views than you do. We'll tell you later in the week how to get tickets for that. And as part of the evening's festivities, we're collecting stories written by kids in answer to this question. What would you say to the country if you were president? Now, parents, kids, this is a perfect school holiday activity for this afternoon. So if you're willing to engage, write a story, serious or silly, long or short, and submit it to our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. The deadline is tomorrow. We've been talking about this for about a week, and the deadline is tomorrow, but you can do this in one afternoon. Silly or serious, long or short, a child's version of what would you say to the country if you were president in the State of the Union address. So maybe some of you take advantage of the day off to work on the story today. A few of the stories, and here's the prize, okay? A few of the stories will actually be performed by a local comedy troupe called the Story Pirates on the night of the State of the Union at our Green Space event. And again, all the details available at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up next, we'll have on the media's Brooke Gladstone paying a visit. She has a crowdsourcing project going where she's trying to get some of you in the audience to help smoke out which of the 100 senators put a secret hold on a whistleblower's bill. Brooke Gladstone in a minute.